We are in 2 Timothy chapter... Oh, you're killing me. We just finished 2 Timothy chapter 2. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Oh, you guys are amazing. Okay. All right. And I'm going to read the first... First, I was going to try to get through the chapter, and then there's just absolutely no way. 17 verses is just too much. So I think we're going to get through maybe like 5. So we'll see what we can do, and we'll just trust the Lord for it. We're going to read a few of these verses together, and I'll read at least up to, let's say, maybe 5, maybe 6. We'll see how it goes. All right, let's start off in verse 1. I wanted to get to 9, I won't make it. Okay, but starting in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, verse 1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Verse 2 continues, people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, but treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Goes on to say in verse 5, having a form or holding to a form of godliness, but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. And I think that's all I'm going to get to. I don't think I'm going to go any further than that today, just based on what the Lord was giving me. So let's start there and see what God has for us. So we're starting off in verse 1 where it does go and it says, mark this, take note of this, mark it on the calendar. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 2. That's how we start off. And the first thing I notice is it says in verse 1, if you remember, Paul is trying to impart all these things to Timothy. He's going to be teaching others, just like you teach and instruct others and I. But he says last days, and these last days that he's talking about here began with the ministry of Jesus Christ, and they're going to continue until Jesus Christ comes again in glory. Some people just tend to think, oh, the last days is just, you know, let's see, when the double, you know, Satan comes back, 666. The last days started when Jesus, right, that ministry began, and now they're going to continue until he comes again. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these what? Last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the universe. That's our God. He holds all things together. And it says in Peter, it says this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 4. It says the following. Most importantly, he says, I want to remind you that in the last days, right? When all this is the whole time, we're living in the last days. In the last days, scoffers will come and they'll mock the truth, following their own desires, it says. And it says, they will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? And from before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world has been first created. So these last days started with Jesus, the Son, describing, showing himself who he was, what his heart was for us, those promises, and they're going to end, right, in these last days, right, until Jesus comes again. Now, they call it the last days in part because God is completing his work and his purposes for his people. And it says also, I don't notice if you notice this in verse 1, but it says, I don't know if some of your translations say something different, but my version says terrible times. Does anybody say anything different, anybody's version? Difficult. Anything else? Perilous. Okay, that's probably, yeah, terrible or perilous. I think those are probably the most accurate. And these times or these seasons in the last days, basically they're going to increase and they're going to get worse and worse. The Greek word telepos, or actually it's halepos, it means savage. It means fierce. I mean, it means perilous. There are some people who think, as Christians, that when we become Christians, everything's just going to get better and better and better till eventually we reach this sort of nirvanic state the Lord comes back with, and we all go skipping up to heaven. That's not how it's going to work. Actually, believe it or not, we might have little respites. I think we're in a little bit of a respite time, but things are going to eventually grow worse. Some people get so bitter and angry. Oh, I just hate this. Why is it? Where, God, where are you? Things are getting worse, and people are hating Christians more. Well, that has to happen. These things, it's going to grow worse and worse and worse. The love, people's hatred, their self-centeredness, their self-focus are going to increase. And until the Lord harpazos us, takes us out, I believe. And when he does, that lets a lot of the Holy Spirit of God being removed. And that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is love. That fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience. Imagine all that leaving. And it's getting worse now. I mean, maybe you can kind of see it. People hate, you know. Here's a guy, okay? You may not agree with him, or you may agree with him. Here's a guy, Charlie Kirk, right? He's sitting open-air college campus having discussions with, you know, hey, let's talk. Let's have a dialogue, right? I'm not going to punch you. I'm not going to attack you. He's shot and killed for it. And they feel justified that that's okay. You know why? Because he's saying all this truthful stuff, and we hate him. Weird, huh? So, yeah, here's the thing. This halapos, right? These terrible times, right? This word, terrible, fierce, savage. It's actually the exact same word that Jesus used to describe a demon-possessed guy in Matthew 8:28. You remember the demon of the Gadarenes? Jesus went with his disciples over to the other side. Do you remember that story? And, you know, there was that big storm and all. And then he got to the other side, and it says these men came out. They were demon-possessed, right? And it wasn't just one demon. If you remember the story, a legion of demons, right? And they came out, and it said that he was so fierce. It said he lived in the tombs amongst the dead. He would cut himself. He was like, I just hate flesh. I hate. And it said he was so savage. He was so violent, actually, my translation says in Matthew, that nobody could even go in that area because he was such a violent person. That's the exact same word. In the last days, people are going to get more and more violent, wild, savage. They're not going to have the self-control of the Holy Spirit that you and I have. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's just... That's what he's saying. He's talking about savage times, wild times, violent times. And unfortunately, that's going to increase, which means we need to draw near to the Lord, right? More and more. And so, and it says that people are going to be lovers of themselves. Well, at least we don't see that going on today, right? Selfies, myself, my tube, YouTube, our tube, whatever it is. The bottom line is I don't know how to say this. In the list of words that I'm going to go over here, you're going to see words that it says like lovers of money, boastful, proud. You're going to see words like boastful, proud, abuses. You see it all over the Bible, right? But there's different words sometimes that the Bible uses to describe even the same word in the Greek. And all these words are extreme words, like they're not ones that are used elsewhere, and he's trying to make a point. In other words, in these last days, it's as the increase, as wickedness gets more and more, it's just going to get worse and worse. So these are extreme words. This word's lovers of themselves means totally self-centered, totally selfish, totally self-focused. It's all about me. In other words, I don't really care what you think. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I'm going to do what's best for me. The rest of you be damned. Does that make sense? That's how the self-consuming nature is going to get. And so that's why it's so important to go the other way. Listen, how do we counteract that? Why we listen to God's word. We ask for the Holy Spirit because we need it. Because otherwise, listen, when somebody gets in my face, they're, oh, Brett, because he's pretty peaceful. When somebody gets in my face, something wells up in me. Myself just goes, nobody gets in my face. Do you know what I'm saying? That's my natural man, right? Heck no. But, okay, is that going to be, okay, God, you need to, oh, help me use self-control. First, start at tongue. The Bible says in Philippians 2, 3 to 4, listen, don't make it about yourself. In fact, listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're following Jesus, then this is what Jesus says to you personally. He says this, he says, I don't want you to do anything out of selfishness, self-focus. Do you see what he's saying? I don't want you to focus on self. It's the opposite of me. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value other people above yourself. Okay, well, that's not looking to your own interests, but each of you needs to look at the interest of others. That means instead of being so concerned just about me, I need to care about Jason. I need to care about Leslie. I need to care about you guys. I need to care about you guys. Does that make sense? Because our focus... And I guarantee you, listen, well, Pastor, I'm not selfish. I'm not self-centered. Oh, really? If you ever get a picture taken, a group picture, the very first person you look at is yourself, isn't it? Come on, it is. You're not thinking, oh, my mom looks so great in this picture. You're not thinking, oh, my friend, wow, oh, she looks great. Oh, he looks awesome. Look at his hair. No, you're thinking, oh. Everybody could look great in that picture, and if you're looking like, eh, you're like, oh, I don't want this one. I look terrible in it. The 11 others look fantastic. I don't like this picture at all. It's our human nature, right? God's saying, I want you to get rid of that. Instead of just thinking all about you, I want you to think about me, and thinking about me is going to help you to think about other people. Does that make sense? Okay? And that's a choice that you make. It goes on to say in these terrible times, these savage times, these last days, people are going to be lovers of money. Can you imagine? Yes. Okay, this word, by the way, that lovers of themselves in this particular context was only used one time in the Bible. In other words, it's an extreme love of self. I am so self-centered. What happens is when you're self-centered, everything real and truthful is going on around you, but you can only see it in a distorted way as it results and as it, I don't even know how to say this, as it relates, thank you, as it relates to you, to me. I only care about how it relates to me. It's a bad place to be. And now he's using this another, lovers of money. This is all over the Bible, but it's an extreme word. It's only used two times in the Greek. And that means ravenously greedy. Like, I just can't get enough. Like, I just have to have more, and I'll do anything to get it. I'll sell my soul, like the Judas, right? I'm going to sell my soul for a bag of silver, for a little bit of recognition. What is the enemy offering you? I want you to think about this. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, right? Even churches, a lot of churches are about money. Listen, I want to make sure we appreciate your tithes. Oh my gosh, we're so grateful. We're so thankful that you're faithful with your tithes. God uses you in wonderful ways we couldn't do without you and God using you. But that's not the focus. We're not passing baskets. Do you notice that? We're not up here. Let's pray for a second, third tithe, fourth tithe. You really love Jesus. Come up. I'm here. And did somebody say they were going to give me a $2,000 check? $2,000. Did I say two? I meant ten. Ten. They're going to be lovers of money. Even this is even within the church. You know, it's going to be a crazy time. I don't know if you have a microphone. You can get it back there. But it does mean ravenously greedy. And the Bible says this. It says, and if you don't know, 1 Timothy 6:9 says, but people who long to be rich, there's nothing, again, nothing wrong with saving your money, nothing wrong with building equity, but if your focus is just on money, so I'm going to build bigger barns and make it all about you, you don't know. You could go like that. Listen, people who long to be rich fall into temptation, and they are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires, the Bible says, that plunge them into ruin and destruction. That's pretty big. I saw a hand or a question. I don't know if we can turn on that microphone. Is it on?
Okay. Yeah, it is. Notice how it says, are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires. Greed doesn't just consist of, you know, like money. You know, many people think like, oh, as long as I'm not like thinking of the dollar bills, or I'm perfectly fine. But I remember there's a certain verse that says, and abstain from greed, which is idolatry, meaning that you can be greedy about just about anything in the materialistic sense.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? I'm so thankful for you guys. You guys are really a faithful group. But there are people that don't tithe. You know what they don't tithe? Because they're greedy. What? Pastor, what are you saying? You don't understand. Listen, I'm not saying how much you should give or don't give to your neighbor or to the church. That's up to you. I will never know. You could come here and never give one penny. I will never know, and you'll still be treated the exact same because God loves you. However, if you're not giving, why? Are you not trusting God? Or did the enemy damage you in the past? What? Someone's not being blessed because you're not giving. You know what? And the Bible actually says you're robbing God. Listen, you're robbing a blessing. You don't want to do that. On the other side of that same coin, if the only focus is money and the main focus is money, it's going to lead to corruption. The one time we did a tithe sermon in a decade, it was an awesome sermon, and there's nothing wrong. In fact, I think it was he did actually a great job, and it was the lowest tithing amount we've ever received. And Lord was just like, I'll provide for you, don't worry about it. But anyway, it was a good lesson for us. But the bottom line is, they're going to be lovers of money. I know people who, and we got to think about this, that greed can capture your heart in a lot of ways. I know I should be going to church on Sunday, but I can make a few extra dollars if I work. But I know the Lord is calling me to do that, but I know I should be going to that Bible. I know God called me to that Bible study, but yeah, a couple extra bucks. Listen, and I can't say what you should or shouldn't do. You have to ask the Lord that. But just remember, that greed is easily creeps in our heart, and it's corrupting. So just make sure that you're not a lover of money. Because the enemy will use it to try to get to sell your soul. It says also that they're going to be boastful. Again, only used twice in the Bible, this particular word, elazon, and it means an empty pretender. And it goes along with being proud. This particular word, hyperphanos, is only used 5 times. It means excessive arrogance. Again, it all comes back to self. Do you realize all these words? Lovers of money, why? So I can please myself. Boastful, why? Because I can boast about me. Proud, why? Because it is all about me. Everything is focused self, 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 self. And that's what the advertisements get you to focus on. That's what the culture is going to get you to focus on. Self, 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 because that's what the enemy gets you to focus on. However, God says just the opposite. If you want to be prideful, you want to be boastful, you can do that. But the word says God opposes the proud. My translation says, but gives grace to the humble, or he favors the humble. And I want all the grace I can get. I need all the grace I can get from God, right? So I'm going to humble myself, right, before him. Does that make sense? Right? If you want to boast about anything in the Bible, boast that you know Jesus. You want to boast in something? Anything I have that's really good, I can thank the Lord for. Right? It goes on to say that they're going to be abusive. And it's a tough word because it means both abusive and blasphemous. I actually think it more lends itself to the word blasphemous in the Greek, but it's used four times. And I didn't know how to sum it up in like one or two words. Somebody who was good with words could probably have done it better, okay? But this is an evil, slanderous, railing, abusive speech against God or others. I don't need God. Have you ever met those people? Oh, you're one of those God types. You can blankety blank blank strike me down now, God. You can do that all you want. I'm going to take fuse tests back. If he doesn't do it now, let me tell you, there's going to be a time where, let me tell you, you're going to wish you didn't say that. I guarantee it. That's why I used to get super mad when people, how dare you. Now I'm like, oh my gosh, man, I just feel bad for you. I just like, and you know what? They're so far away. And can I be honest? This is a little bit of embarrassment. I went to church all my life, but I was never saved. That's why I want to make sure you guys, just coming to church doesn't save you, right? We put our faith and trust in Jesus. He saves me. But I went to church most of my life. I didn't get saved till I was almost 30, right? And so, I hate to say it, I used to talk people out of God before that in my 20s, right? Because it was all about me and I knew better and I know all this stuff. I didn't know anything. I was an idiot. So, thank God for saving me. But that's how they're going to be. They're going to be disobedient to their parents. Oh, so glad we never see that. First, I want to say thank you to all the parents who care enough about their kids to correct them, to work with them, to discipline them, right? Now, obviously, as parents, we don't always do things perfectly, do we? If there's any parent that has done it perfectly, see me after. I still have lots of things to learn from you. But the bottom line is, it would be a lot easier for you as a parent to not invest, wouldn't it? I don't need to deal with it. Let them do whatever they want. All the kids say, woo, yeah, hallelujah. But let me tell you, in the long run, that's the worst, meanest, most terrible thing you could ever do for your kid. Let them do whatever the beep they want. Because that's going to corrupt and kill their soul for all eternity. And kids, I know it seems like, oh my goodness, they're hassling me again. Actually, 9 out of 10 times, your parents are trying to help you, to protect you, to teach you, to instruct you for the rest of your life. You should thank God that you have parents that actually care about you enough to do that. It's the truth. Because it would be a lot easier just to ignore the whole thing, right? And for you kids, can I tell you what? The Bible says something right to you. I'll show you the verse. You could be rebellious. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says this. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for it's the right thing to do. Does that make sense? And that's why we do it, okay? You can be rebellious and choose that, but it's going to end up bad for you in the long run. The Bible goes on to say this in 2 Timothy 3, 1-2. It talks about also, besides being disobedient to their parents, and that word again, disobedient to the parents, means rebellious. In other words, it's not like, hey, I didn't take out the garbage, sorry, I'll go do it now. No, he's talking about, I don't need to take out, why do I need to clean my room? Why do I need to, wait, I have to get off the internet? Ah! You know. You can't make me, you know what? And that's what they're teaching your kids. You know, if you look at a lot of, even the kids' shows, the parents are always imbeciles. You think that's an accident? Ah, the kids are always smarter. The kids save the day. The kids... Anyway, I'll stop talking about it. Also, it says that they're going to be ungrateful. And that means a complete... Again, that word's only used two times in the Bible in this context. And it means a totally thankless attitude and heart. Oh, God, I know you're giving me... You know what? The Lord's giving you breath in your lungs right now. Without him, you would be dead. I would be dead right this very second. And we don't even thank him for it. Sometimes we don't even get out of bed. Right? Lord, forgive us. Thank you so much, Lord, for saving me, for wanting to teach me, for being patient with me, for filling me with grace, for forgiving me. For the list could go on and on and on. So how do we counteract these things? The Bible says, it's really simple. Have a thankful heart. Remember all that God's renewing your mind, who you'd be without him. Ephesians 5:20 in the King James Version says, giving thanks to always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's a good habit to get into. And it says they're going to be unholy. Holy means set apart for God's purposes and God's work and God's service, right? So unholy is the opposite of that. So it says that they're going, and it's only used twice in the Bible, this particular word. It means they're going to be wicked, impious, completely irreverent to God. And that's the opposite of who God wants us to be. And how do we counteract that? Remember that you're a treasure of God. If you're saved here today, if you've given your life over to Jesus, can I tell you what? He has a purpose and a plan. He considers you a treasure. Listen, it says this, though. He says, you have been set apart as holy. He's like, you have been set apart as holy to the Lord, your God. And he has chosen you from all the nations of the earth to be his special treasure. Listen, that's a beautiful statement to them back then and to you right now. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Remember you're set apart. In other words, you're set apart from unholiness for God's purposes. So if you're giving yourself back over to selfish, self-centered things, it is just a hook in you, a chain on you to drag you down to the pits of hell. Don't allow that to happen. Does that make sense? No, I cannot. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, yes, ma'am. You said go back?
To Ephesians.
Okay. Yes. Sorry. That one. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. No problem at all. Happy to do it. Although I joke about it, but I am happy to do it. In fact, it goes on to say in 1 Peter 1:15-16, it goes on to say this. It says, but now, right, now that you're saved, okay, if that's you here, now you ought to be, you might want to think about, you must be holy in how many things? I'm holy in 11 things, Lord. I just don't have to go for all 20. Be holy in everything you do. You got to keep working it. Just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say you must be holy as I'm holy. Okay, so we've made it through the first two verses. Congratulations. Okay. Woo-hoo! Guess we're cruising, baby. Cruising. Oh, wait, go back, yes. Okay, take pictures. Please, no pictures. I'm sorry. Little joke there. Okay, anyways, 2 Timothy 3:3 goes on to say, he says, they're going to be without love. They're going to be unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal. Not lovers of the good. Dang. These last days. Without love, the word in Greek is estorgos, right? And it's, again, an extreme word, only used two times, and it means no family love, no natural affection. In other words, some people are more loving than others. Okay, right? Isn't that true? Some people, I'm a hugger. I hug everybody. Some people like, I don't like anyone to touch me. How do you do? I can barely do this. So, okay, we're all different, right? It doesn't make it... Okay, so... But when it comes to family, right, there's a special kind of love that helps us to put up with some of their poop and to be patient and long-suffering with them and with family members. But it's saying that they're not even going to have family love. So I'm guessing, Ms. Nearboss, that you love your children most of the time. Most of the time. And, okay, but you'd love it really all the time. And even though we get so frustrated, right? But we love them. But it says in these last times that even that's going to be lost. Like, I don't even care. And you know what? That even goes on today. You don't know people's backgrounds and sometimes how good you have it. But I can't tell you the number of conversations I've had with people who they were actually sold as children to people for sexual exploitations, horrific stuff. They were sold, babies as children, by, guess who? Their parents. Now, can God redeem their parents one day? Absolutely. Can God redeem them? Absolutely. But horrible, it's even going on today, right? And it's going to be, they're without any natural love. I don't care about my parents. You just read the Hollywood People that were just killed, right? Their son slit their throats. I don't care. Right? They gave me birth to help raise me. I don't care. You're seeing a little bit of it even now. But it's going to actually increase. And to be estorgos is really to be heartless. It means to bite the hand that feeds you. It means to stab you in the back. I remember this lady, read about her. I don't know her personally. But she reached out to this homeless person, took them in their home, fed them, clothed them, gave them everything. You know what he ended up doing? Murdering her for some money, whatever she had in her apartment. Terrible, 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 terrible stuff. And it's going to get worse and worse. And these times will become so terrible and self-centered that even the natural love that we have for a family will disappear. It's going to grow cold and it's going to be dead. And the Bible says this, and Jesus said it in Matthew 24:12. He said, as in the last days, as the increase in wickedness comes and happens, the love of most will go cold. In other words, and there have been times, I'll be honest, I don't know if I should even say this, but I've been like, I don't even need this anymore. I don't need the attacks. I don't need to minister to anybody. Forget this. But is that the right way to be? No. Lord, is that why? Were you patient with me? Yes. Did you yell at me and shake your fist at me? Yes. Okay. Oh, forgive me, Lord. Okay. Right? Don't let that love, if you're finding your heart being hardened, ask God to soften it with the oil of his Holy Spirit, right? Sometimes the world, people are so jerky, right? They really are. They're selfish. And you could be the same way without the Lord. Ask him, soften my heart with oil, Lord. Help me to be the person you want me to be. And he'll do it because he's faithful. Listen, it says this in 2 Corinthians 5:14, that love of Christ that you have in your heart, the Holy Spirit, the fruit of that Holy Spirit is love, the Bible says, right? Okay? And depending on your translation, I can't remember, the Greek word means different things, so I wrote it in a few different translations because it means all of them. But 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, as it gets darker in these last days, it says, Christ's love constrains us. It could mean constrains, compels, but controls. But in other words, Christ's love in that Greek word means it constrains us. In other words, the love of Christ helps me not to do things I shouldn't do or even that my flesh wants to do. It constrains us. The love of Christ actually compels me to do things, to love and share and give beyond what I should because the love of Christ controls us. Man, thank you, Lord, for your love that I don't have to be swayed by the world or my flesh or the devil, Lord. I can trust in you, Lord, and the cross and the power that comes from you. And since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have also died to our old life So we hold on to the cross. We die to that old life and we follow him. And it says they're going to be unforgiving. That word in Greek, a lot of Greek words, but it brings it out for me, and I hope it's not boring. But aspandos, that's only used one time in the Bible. It means literally no peace, no truce, no negotiations at all, zero compromise. I want this way, and I don't care who opposes me. This is the way it's going to be. Maybe you know, maybe you see on the news some people like that. I don't know. But it's almost like the image is a hostile person who's not willing to sit down and have a discussion at an open campus, right? I'd rather just kill you. I just hate you. Do you know what I'm saying? It's a hostile person, unwilling to negotiate, unwilling to have a truce or peace. I just hate you. And that's all there is to it. Like the Hatfields and McCoys, the feud will never end. I'm never going to forgive you, right? See, I can, if Don has a different opinion on something, even a radical different opinion on something, do you know what? I can work with that because I know his heart. And we just have, okay, we're going to work through some of that, okay? But to just hate them with a vehemency, there have been times where I had to block somebody this weekend. Lord, tell me not to get into specifics, but I wished them well. My last comments were them. I had warned them, hey, if you keep sending certain things, then I can't do it. I'm going to have to block you. And I, after a year of that, or maybe a year and a half, I'm having to block them. And my last words were, hey, I wish you all God's best. God bless you. Those are my last words. But here's how we're supposed to be, how we counteract that unforgiveness. Again, with the Lord. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate. Choose to be it. Clothe yourself with kindness, the Bible says. Right? Put it on. Just like I put on this shirt this morning. Right? I clothe myself with kindness. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. That's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to forgive because God forgave us. It says they're slanderous. The word is actually a wicked word. It's diablos. It means that's little devil. It means false accuser. The images of someone whose speech is a little devilish, diabolical. In other words, they're falsely accusing people, and they're doing that, right? Innuendos, gossip, slander. They're doing it to cause division. So you're going to, maybe she is like that. Maybe he is like that. I think I heard that same thing. And the enemy's using it to cause division in these end times. I watch it happen all the time. I watch the enemy work in the background. That's how he operates. And he's diabolical. He's going to be falsely accusing people, causing division. And the devil's object is to come between or break up godly relationships so you can grow and to keep this brokenness alive, right? It means without self-control. In the Greek is akrotres, and it means without strength. That means without the ability to restrain yourself, without any regard to anything or anyone. That's why it's so important to have Christ in you. Brutal, enamorous, and it means only one time in the Bible. Again, violent, untamed, wild. And what do we do with all these things? The slanders, no self-control, brutal, all these gossip, all this different junk, we throw it out in the trash. We put it off of our lives. We say, that's not going to be me. And I have the power to do that because Christ lives in me. Ephesians 4:31 says, listen, Christian, I want you to get rid of it. Just like you take out the trash, or I have my kids take it out, take out the trash, throw it away, get rid of all that bitterness, whatever you're feeling towards that person, let it go. The Bible says, don't let any bitter root grow up in you. Father, forgive them. Help me not to be bitter. Any rage, anger, harsh words, why do you need to say those harsh words? Get rid of it. I know it's not. That's just how I talk. I'm from Jersey. I'm from New York. I'm Italian. Whatever your excuse is, get rid of it. And slander, as well as all types of evil behavior, take it to the trash. Capiche? And it says, not lovers of good. Aphalagathos. And it means they're going to hate everything good and love what is evil. That's the way it's going to go. People are going to, whatever is good and true, people are going to increasingly hate it and hate you for thinking it, for living it, for speaking it, and the world's going to be turned upside. You're going to be the hater. Even though you don't hate, you're going to be considered that hater. They're going to hate what's good and they're going to love what's evil is going to be acceptable, right? It's going to be backwards. I can do what I want. I can kill a baby if I want. Really? Is that what the Lord would have you do? My choice. Well, I could shoot somebody today too. That's a choice. Is it a good one? Is it a godly one? Not just no, but no. Listen, there's a warning that God gave in the book of Isaiah to his people that I think he gives. People are getting everything so backwards. Sometimes it's overwhelming, isn't it? It's like, but this was a warning to live life upside down. See, the world's going to go in that opposite direction. What's going to be good? He said to them, he gave them this warning, and it's good for us to as well. Live life upside down. Don't live that way. That's why God wants you to get rid of those stuff. He says this. He says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. He's like, woe to you. It was almost like, oh my goodness, like, oh, whoa. You don't know what's in store for you. Whoa. Isaiah was saying. Not like Joey Lowards. Whoa. It's a heavy, weighty, like, oh my goodness, you have no idea what's waiting for you, right? So live life upside down, Christian. Don't go along with the culture. Does that make sense? 3:04, how long?
50 minutes.
How long?
5:00.
Hour and a half, that was really mean. It's 50 minutes. I got a few more minutes. 5 more minutes, kids. 2 Timothy 3:4. I'll get through the scripture. It says, right? They'll be treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I think we're kind of getting there a little bit, right? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. At least I think it's getting that way. Hey, George, clicker's not working. Not sure why. Okay, thanks. Treacherous just means a betrayer. They're going to be treacherous. They're going to be a backstabber. They're going to be a betrayer. The picture it conjures up is a friend. I'm pretending to be your friend, but really, I'm out to stab you in the back.
I knew it.
They're really out to double cross you. That's how people are going to be. It's an awful. If you've ever been betrayed, terrible, terrible feeling. More times than I just don't like it. But anyway, they're going to be rash. That means reckless and thoughtless in an impious, in an evil way, impetuous way. Just like, I don't care. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Who cares who it hurts? They're going to be conceited. That word literally means puffed up with smoke. They're going to be proud. They're going to know it all, which is going to blind them to the truth. That's why people don't listen. They know it all. So it really encourages me when I see you guys listening and learning and taking it in and applying it to your life, because that means you're humble in some way. If you're not, if you don't listen to anybody, you're one of those, you're kind of a foolish person. It blinds you to the truth. They're going to be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They're going to be essentially self-indulgent in a way that dishonors the Lord. Now, I love this scripture picture. And at first I saw it, I'm not going to, the rainbow, I'm like, wait a minute, the rainbow is God's promises, right? And so I'm like, now I'm like, yeah, I'm absolutely using this. Psalm 16:11 says this, and I love it. I want to go back. One, it says, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Being a lover of pleasure, indulging in hedonistic stuff, and just saying, I don't care, especially if it honors God. If you're a lover of God, it doesn't mean you can't, you're not going to have, like, pleasure. In fact, it's just a different kind. In fact, it's better. I don't know how many of you have ever been, have actually felt the, I'm saying a supernatural, have actually experienced, it's a little, the presence of God. Raise your hands. You know what? If you know then, you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave the presence when that happens. Let me tell you, I remember I was supposed to teach a Bible study, and I was like, ah, Lord, I don't want to leave. I want to stay right here. I don't care that everybody's waiting. There's a ton of people waiting on me. I'm on the ground. I'm like, Lord, please. No, and he's like, it's time to teach the study. No, Lord, a little bit longer. Listen, there's pleasure in the Lord, and that's what we have to find, right? It says in Psalm 16:11, you will show me the way of life, granting me joy in your presence. I actually wanted to capitalize presence, but it wouldn't fit and make it bold. But joy of your presence. There is joy. There is pleasure in the presence, being in the presence of God. That's why the enemy wants you held back, stuck in your sin, because you don't experience it. And then it's easier not to seek after him. Listen, it goes on to say, and pleasures of living with you forever. There are pleasures in following the Lord. There's joy in following the Lord that will far outseed whatever pleasure, that drug, that relationship, whatever it is that's got you all bound up. There's pleasures in the Lord. And so how do we, I'm sorry, somebody's raising their hand. Go ahead, if you have a question or
comment. I do want to say something that's somewhat important. In the Screwtape Letters, you know, which is about spiritual warfare,
yes.
Screwtape is, there's a moment where he's sitting down with his nephew while they're trying to tempt someone, and his nephew asks if they had any ability to create the pleasures, you know, that the enemy, you know, which is referring to God, can create.
Yeah.
And he said, no, unfortunately, we cannot create a single pleasure at all. All we can do is pervert it.
That's interesting. So how do we combat this lack of, you know, if they're seeking pleasure rather than God, and how do we keep ourselves safe? You know what? Draw near to God. The Bible says in Mark 10:12, you, Christian, you're to love the Lord your God in increasing measure. Listen, sometimes we can read this verse. We've heard it 100 times, right? I want you to really think about it. It says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. When you think about it that way, I've got a long way to go, right? But the more I do that, the more I have the joy of his presence, the more, and not even to mention, forevermore. And then this last verse says, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. I won't have time. Actually, you know what? I think I'm going to leave it at 4. Yeah. But I'm going to leave it at this scripture verse here. So if you can leave this one, hold my calls for a minute. So we're going to leave this scripture up, George, if you don't mind. And I'm going to take a minute. I'm sorry, I only got to verse 4 instead of verse 5, George, when you put it on the website. Sorry about that. And I'll get to more next week. Thank you guys for being patient. Remember, there's joy in the presence of the Lord. And if you'll notice, this is the reason I love this picture so much. Look at what he's wiping over with the joy of the Lord, with the presence of God, with the pleasures of God. You know what? Hopelessness, sorrow, disappointment, embarrassment, fear, worry, loneliness, depression, regret. You get the idea? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Does that make sense? Amen?
Amen?
All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for these wonderful, wonderful people. that are here today, Lord, who are going to watch later on online, Lord. We pray your blessing, the joy of the presence of the Lord over them, Lord God. We pray in Jesus' name that you would help them to choose instead of the pleasures of this world, Lord, the pleasures of doing your will, they would choose that over. And so I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would help every one of us, Lord God, to be the kind of man or to be the kind of woman that brings joy to your heart, Lord God. So, Lord, help us, empower us to do that, Lord. We ask for that blessing of strength, encouragement, and ability to walk in your presence, in the joy of the Lord being our strength, so we can say no to sin, depart from iniquity, and yes to your blessing and your presence forever. We love you and we bless you, and we pray your blessing on your people as they go through the week. In Jesus Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen, 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 and amen. God bless you. Have a great morning in Jesus Christ's name.